Well, believe it or not, I'm a business guy who ended up in a science world somehow. I'm not. Sometimes I look back and not sure how that happened, but I'm a major in international business. And coming out of school, I did some work with the province of Alberta, working in international trade, actually. And at the time, I was the new guy in the organization, so they gave me these new sectors called life sciences and biotechnology, because some of the guys there weren't quite sure what to do with it. So I spent 4 or 5 years working within government, working with local companies who were looking to access international markets, and that was mostly within, you know, biotechnology sectors and the IT sectors. And so I got to know a lot of the industry, and I worked with a lot of the industry, a lot of the service providers within Alberta who were looking to perhaps access some international contracts, those type of things. And I got involved in a number of projects, including the big bio shows, which Alberta has had large delegations attend. And through some of those projects, I got to know the industry association. At that time, the executive director was Mike Ostenchuk, and I worked on some projects with her. And as we grew to working together, at some point the association came calling and asked if I would join the association. I was very pleased to do that in about 2003. And when Micah left the organization in 2005, I was here to take over the reins, I guess. The board went through a search effort, and I came back home, and I was fortunate enough to be in the position to take over the job. So it's been a good ride the whole way.
Well, in your position, you're able to see the big picture of what's happening on biosciences, biotechnology in Alberta. Could you just give me an idea of what really is happening in this province?
Sure. Our strength really over the last 10 years has been on the medical side of biotechnology, really in health biotechnology, that is drug discovery, drug development. And that strength really has been driven by the University of Alberta and the University of Calgary. But there, we've seen some change over the last few years. We've had some very strong companies in that area, but what we're seeing is some growth in other areas within the life science sector in general. And when I say life sciences, what I mean is it's the health biotechnology, but also medical devices, the agricultural biotechnology, the bioproducts, the industrial, environmental applications of biotechnology. It's really the whole grouping that we refer to life sciences. And what we've seen in the last probably 5 years is expanding more out of the medical applications, which is still a good core strength. But seeing some more into medical devices, but also agricultural biotechnology, nutraceuticals, functional foods, and more lately, I guess, on industrial applications and environmental applications. So we're seeing really a bit of a diversification in the sector, where people used to think of biotechnology as really only drugs and bugs type applications. There are a lot of different applications that impact our everyday world now.
If we look back, where do you think it really got its start in Alberta? You do have a Hall of Fame sitting out in the front, and people like Dr. Ray Lemieux. Where did things really start?
Yeah, when you mention Ray Lemieux, absolutely a tremendous leader for this province. There are, you can almost track back the history of life sciences and biotechnology in Alberta to a few key people. Ray Lemieux was definitely one of them in the carbohydrate side, through the expertise that he brought at the University of Alberta. But there are a couple other key people and a couple other key moments or key programs. And one of those was actually Peter Lougheed with the creation of the Heritage Fund for Medical Research. That one drove a lot of innovation and a lot of research within this province and funded a lot of opportunities at the university that were then later spun out into companies. And some of the people who took advantage of those would be people like Tony Nujame, outstanding leader within the biotechnology sector, was integral in starting up companies like Biomira and Alterx and Virex and a few others. But also, Jerry Trudzakian with a great history in this province as well. Bob Church out of Calgary, Bill Cochran, some of the leaders who really started this industry. So a lot of those people are inducted into the Hall of Fame. And they were kind of the leaders who made it start and then the mentors who continued along to help some of the early stage companies get along their way.
Can you give me examples of actual products or technologies that these people and their early pioneers started?
Sure. Well, there were a number of products, actually. One of the local companies, Naja Pharmaceuticals, and Dr. Ron Mikitish was involved in the development and early creation of a couple of blockbuster drugs that actually went on to market. And they're not necessarily things that we always associate with, because they might have went through a few steps until they actually got onto the market. But some of that early innovation really happened here. But the ones that some of the people might be familiar with, of course, are often maybe not on the drug development side, but things like functional foods, nutraceuticals, things like that. So a lot of people don't realize products like Cold FX are actually developed here in Edmonton. Dr. Jackie Shan, started with the University of Alberta in a technology from there, spun it out, commercialized it. They've got a facility on the south side of Edmonton. And this is, an outstanding company with great product, and many people don't realize those type of things are happening here in our own backyard. Many other products are still not quite at that stage of retail, but they're still in the process of getting to a point of commercialization. And so we still got some room to go to get a few more products on the market, but there are a number of smaller companies, especially in the cosmetic side, with topical creams, those type of things, different diagnostic kits, a whole range of suite of products that are commercialized here in Alberta.
So where do things stand today?
Well, it's a different environment today, that's for sure. 2008, 2009 has been a bit challenging for life sciences in Alberta. And the biggest difference that we see today is the restriction of capital to some of these companies. That's nothing new. We know in this economy right now that people are hanging on to their dollars. Banks are, venture capital is, public markets are tight, everything. So this is an industry that is actually fairly dependent on capital injections to keep the companies going. Many of the larger drug discovery companies can take, easily 10, 15 years to get a product to market. Can take about $1 billion to get there. That's a fairly substantial commitment if you're going to take a product along the full commercialization pathway. So you can imagine when the dollars tend to shrink, it's not a good situation for a lot of the companies. So many right now over the last year have realized it's a very tough time for financing, and they've had to make a few changes within their business strategy to accommodate for that. So the last few years have been challenging, but that being said, those with product like the CV Technologies or the Cold FX or C-Pro with some of the topicals, those type of companies are doing all right. They'll be able to push through, but those that are looking for capital, it could be some tough times ahead.
Well, with your organization, BioAlberta, what exactly do you do to support the industry?
BioAlberta was started, as I mentioned earlier, about 1999, and really what BioAlberta is supposed to do is three things. We work on three main pillars. One is we market the industry. We let people know that there is a biotechnology or a life science industry here in Alberta. It's important for people to realize we're not just oil and gas, we're not just agriculture. There is innovation here in Alberta, and it's often happening below the radar, but what we're trying to do is elevate that. So we'll market the industry, and we market our companies specifically and opportunities that might exist within those companies. The second pillar we work on is industry development. We try to help our companies grow. As an industry association, we come up with programs that can help further the company's business objectives. It might be in the form of workshops, seminars, events. We offer purchase programs to our companies to help try to save them money. We'll put together international delegations, local opportunities, make connections with venture capital, make connections with potential partners, all those type of things, that anything that we can do that can help a company move their business plan forward. The third pillar that BioAlberta offers is we are an advocacy group. So we advocate for the companies in this industry. And what does that mean? Essentially, we view ourselves as kind of a link between industry and government, and try to make that facilitation and ensure that both sides are talking. It's important that government understands what's happening in the industry, and it's important that government looks at some policies that potentially could help the innovation sector grow in Alberta. We realize, and I think the new government administration realizes, that oil will not sustain Alberta forever. We do need to diversify that, the economy. And I think life sciences, ICT, some of these innovative sectors are ways that we can diversify our economy, but we need to set the groundwork so that these industries can be successful.
Let's look at that a little bit more. When you are lobbying or you're looking for help for this sector, what are the kinds of things that you're dealing with now? What are the conversations that you're having with the government to develop this support?
They're fairly wide-ranging, but some of the initiatives that we just came through and the discussions we had probably over the last 5 to 8 years were on topics such as SR&ED tax credits, basically science and research experimental development tax credits. So what that is this is a program that can help companies who are doing R&D activity within the province. This is something we've been working on, as I mentioned, for a long time. A number of provinces all of the other provinces in Canada have a program like this to help sustain early stage companies. We haven't had anything in Alberta. So what we were doing is working with the province to establish a program like this. And that actually was implemented January 2009. So that's a new program for us, and we've been working on that one for a long time. What does it mean for companies? Well, it means essentially they can access, if they spend $4 million in R&D expenditure within the year on research and development, they can access 10% of that back as a tax credit, which is about $400,000 back to that company to help further their R&D, help provide more jobs, help essentially move that company forward. So that's a positive step. And really what that does is that brings us up to a baseline of being equitable with the other provinces across Canada. And when you're talking about where should a company locate, where should a company set up, if you don't have that baseline, if you don't have that equitable stance with the rest of the world, really, you're not going to attract those innovative companies to locate. That was one of the major programs that we've been working on for a long time.
So you now have the tax credit program in place. What's next? What else are you working on?
What we're working on now really is trying to figure out the innovation landscape within Alberta. Advanced Education and Technology is the government department really that looks after a lot of the activity in this sector. And Minister Horner is looking at some new initiatives within the innovation system. So right now, I think what we need to do is be working with government, figure out what that landscape will look like within the next couple of years. That's going to be the big priority for us in the future. We're also looking at any ways that we can to help companies survive and exist in this climate. It's, as I mentioned, it's a very difficult environment to raise money. And so what can we do to ensure that some of these early stage companies who are lacking capital or lacking some sort of investment stay around here in Alberta and succeed here in Alberta? So that's the new push for us.
Now, you participate with the different companies that are part of BioAlberta in conventions and conferences around the world, and I believe San Diego was a big one a few months ago. Tell me about that and what it is that you actually get back from participating in these big showcases.
Sure, yeah. San Diego was probably our largest effort ever, actually, and this is a large international convention that happened in San Diego this year, and it's a conference that attracts about 20,000 people within the biotechnology and life science industry, and is really a showcase for regions and what's happening within the region. What we do is we organize that delegation. For that event by 2008, we had about a delegation of, I think, about 120 people from Alberta. We were very fortunate that year to have the Premier come down. The Premier led the delegation along with Minister Horner. It's good to have the public sector involvement with the private sector involvement. It shows a real commitment to the sector, and it shows that there's a real effort to help diversify the economy. Essentially, what we'll do is... We'll organize the delegation. If we're going to have a presence on the trade show floor, we'll organize a pavilion, find a place for companies to exhibit their products, service, their wares, whatever it is, but also help them set up any meetings we can. And the companies find these type of opportunities, especially this show, it's the who's who. Everybody is there. Everybody who wants to be involved in the sector and is involved in the sector should be there. And it's a good chance for them to fit in as many meetings as I can, really, within 3 days. I know we have a couple of companies that they put in a lot of homework prior to this event, but over the course of 3 days, they'll go through probably about 120 meetings. So it's very intense, and it's a little bit of matchmaking often. You may be looking for a certain service provider, or you may be looking for a certain partner, someone who can take a certain product forward in its development. But many times our companies are looking for that big partner. They may be looking to work with a Merck Frost or a Pfizer Canada or a Pfizer International, major pharmaceutical companies that maybe can help them with a bit of cash injection or helping take a product further along the development. So really it comes down to partnering, investor relations, looking for investment, or for some of them selling product and service.
Well, can you give me a specific example? What came out of the Bio 2008? If there were some marriages that resulted, can you tell me about, give me an example of that?
Yeah, there always are, I don't know if they're marriages, but there's a lot of courting going on. There's a lot of activity, and we've had one of our companies from last year was down there, actually went through a very productive meeting that the minister was able to attend as well with a venture capital group. They're in the midst right now of doing the due diligence, so I don't want to say too much of that, but it looks like we will get an investment out of that into one of our companies. And this is a California-based venture capital group that is looking for opportunities up here. These things take time. They have to go through the due diligence, and we have to realize that, but you have to start somewhere, and often these type of activities and these type of shows provide that opportunity for that initial introduction or the follow-up a meeting, something that can carry it forward. So I know definitely, you know, we're looking at that one investment into one of our companies. In terms of some of the service providers in this sector, we're looking at companies like contract manufacturing or contract research. They're often down at these events as well, and they're securing contracts for the future. So they are driving business. They are driving opportunity while they're down there. And this is the place for them to meet with some of the people who can bring business back to Alberta. And what does that mean for us? It means here in Alberta, it drives jobs, it drives opportunity, and it drives money being flowed back into the local economy. So it's a good effort on all accounts. And one of the examples, a company that we work with fairly often comes to these type of events, is a contract research organization here in Edmonton called Nasia Pharmaceuticals, and outstanding company, but operates a little bit under the radar. But the extent of that company and the work that they do with major international companies is outstanding. They've got a employee base of, you know, perhaps 130, 140 employees, but probably 90 to 100 of them are PhDs, and it's probably one of the largest concentration of PhD candidates in any company, probably in all of Canada. So that drives an outstanding economic impact when you think about it.
You've also just come back from Vancouver. What was the showcase in Vancouver, and what was Alberta's, I guess, contribution to it?
Yeah, we were in Vancouver for an event, BioPartnering North America. BioAlberta is very pleased. We're a co-host of this. Even though we're an Alberta-based organization, what we do is we work with our partners to co-host this international event in Vancouver. And Vancouver just works well. It works well for a lot of the people coming over from Asia or Europe and all other areas. So what we do is we co-host that conference with our partners. We had about 800, 900 delegates come in. And again, this one is really focused on partnering. This event is for a lot of the smaller companies who want to develop a partnership with a major multinational company. And what we did while we were there, actually, we set up an Alberta workshop during the conference. And what this was to try to drive some interest around Alberta and what's happening in Alberta and get some of these major multinational companies to look at Alberta and think, well, maybe there's some opportunity or something going on there that I need to know about. And what we did during the workshop, typically we'll profile a couple of companies from within the membership. This year, we profiled two companies, BioMS Medical and Picamole Instruments. BioMS Medical was actually our 2008 Company of the Year. They are a drug discovery company based in Edmonton that's working on a treatment for multiple sclerosis. And Picamole Instruments is, in 2008, was our Emerging Company of the Year. And they are a company basically that's working on a breath analysis diagnostic medical device that can, I think their tagline they always like to say is just breathe. And if you can imagine, you know, visiting a doctor's office and basically just having to breathe into a machine, and from that they can analyze your biomarkers and identify certain markers in your breath analysis that might lead to a diagnostic that, you know what, you may be susceptible to this disease in so many years, something like that. So it's neat technology. And so what we did is we wanted to profile those companies to the world. So we took them there and offered an opportunity to them to present to a large contingent of the conference.
What's on the horizon for you and for BioAlberta?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's turbulent times right now, but we have to push through. And this is a time when some of our companies are hurting. It's difficult times for them. They're making cuts. They're drawing back a little bit because we're not sure how long this recession is going to hurt. But for us, in terms of BioAlberta, I think we need to push forward. This is a time when a lot of companies are looking towards an industry association saying, you know, what kind of programs do you have that can save me some money? What can you do to help me? So for us, it's not really a time to hold back. We've got to be out there talking to more and more companies, getting more and more people involved with the association, and to be honest, creating more of a critical mass. The larger critical mass that we can pull together in terms of technology in Alberta and getting the word out, I think the more credibility we have. But for us also, I think over the next couple of years, we're going to see a bit of a push into some of the other sectors. The medical device sector, I think, will be big for us. We'll be looking to talk to a lot of companies within Alberta who are working in this sector, try to pull together a bit of a cluster and see what we've got. The other area that's still looking to be fairly strong, probably longer term, but would be areas like bioproducts and biofuels and some of those areas. Oil, you know, $38-$40 bucks a barrel. You know, maybe people may argue there's no need for some of the alternative fuels right now, but I think long term, companies are still looking to these alternative fuels and different products. So that's an area we need to keep a pulse on.
I think the life sciences or biosciences, more than any, really are on the bigger world stage. The competition must be incredible. So how do you deal with that when you take little Alberta and you're dealing with the whole world?
Yeah, that's a great point, and it's very true. We always like to think that we do things the best here in Alberta, but you have to realize this absolutely is a global competitive industry, and it's also an industry that's dominated by a lot of major multinational companies. There are big companies, whether it be DuPont, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Merck, AstraZeneca, all of these companies which are major, either pharmaceutical or major device or even on the industrial side companies. So, yeah, for a small company out of Alberta, it's tough. It's tough. And I think some of the guys who are feeling that is on the service side. We've got some great service providers, whether it be in contract research or contract manufacturing, but they've got to be out there and they've got to be pushing really hard right now to drive new contracts and drive opportunity. But you've also got to stay cost competitive, and you've got to offer the same services as the neighbor to the south and neighbors across the ocean. So it makes it very tough, but there's always opportunity. There's always something if a company is in the right mindset, has the right product, has the right service. They can always find some point of differentiation. And because it is such a global market, too, there's always niche markets, and there's always areas where they can fit in to provide their service or product.
When you look further down the road, 10, 20 years down the road, what is the life sciences or biotechnology landscape going to look like? What's your vision?
I think our vision is that we're going to see biotechnology and life sciences really integrated to all other parts of the economy. You know, we'd like to see a lot of the innovations that are made through the universities, through the research institutes, are commercialized. They're commercialized efficiently. Right now, a lot of regions around the world haven't quite figured out that commercialization mix. It's not just a simple ready to bake recipe. There are certain things that you need, but you've got to have them all in the right quantity as well. So, I guess what I would like to see 20 years from now is, discovery through the universities or the research institute is found, but there's a clear mechanism somehow that technology can be brought into the community and commercialized fully, so that the full benefit can be realized from that. And what is that going to mean? Well, it's going to mean new applications. It's going to mean new things for the end user. It's going to mean that the oil and gas sector might look different in 20 years from now. We may have new technologies that can help in the discovery of oil wells, or maybe we're not so reliant on oil wells anymore. We've got different fuel alternatives. We've got biodiesel mixed in with our gasoline. We've got ethanol opportunities that are financially viable. And what's it going to mean for the environmental sector? Well, you know, there are a lot of environmental remediation technologies that can be helped by biotechnology. So it's going to mean 20 years from now, maybe quicker cleanup, easier cleanup, more effective, all of these type of things. Better quality testing, air testing, all these type of things could be outstanding innovations for the environmental sector. In agriculture, agriculture has been fairly well impacted already by biotechnology and some of those applications. But is it going to mean hardier crops, better, more fruitful crops? All of those type of applications, perhaps. So I really, and of course on the medical side, let's hope that 20 years from now, some of these applications are seeing their way to the end user, whether it be a medical device or whether it be a new drug product or a diagnostic kit, something like that. A lot of people talk about preventative medicine, and 20 years from now, you know, I'd like to go into the doctor's office and do some sort of diagnostic where I know what's going to impact me for the next 5 years. I know that diabetes is 2 years away from me or something like that, or I'm prone to this certain disease, so I'd better take some precautionary measures now. That's exciting to me. I think those type of applications could be outstanding, and they're going to impact the end user and everybody involved.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.